Now, I said I'd not be able to finish this, and I'll not be able to because I wanted to give some introduction to it. And doing so, I may not get more than that, but we'll get that if the Lord wills and will help us. Now, we're talking about four young men in this chapter, and these had gone into captivity in Babylon, and they were there. And but Daniel made a request here of the one that's taking care of them and asked they not defile himself. And I want to preach, and I guess if I titled it, I'd title it like it. Men that would not compromise. Men that would not compromise. And now that goes along with what the song they sang a while ago. There's a whole lot of compromising going on today. Amen. And there's a whole lot of things going on that I never thought I'd see in my day in Baptist churches. And there's a whole lot of things going on and I never thought I'd see anywhere. It's called itself Christian. But it's happening today, and I pray that God will help us all today that we may think about this and realize the fact that we are living in perilous time. Only the good thing about the day is, it's just like God said it's going to be in the last days, and that makes me look for the Lord Jesus Christ even more. Amen. He's coming back. Thank God he's coming back. He's coming to get us, and I praise his name he is. I'm kind of excited about that. It's a good day to be living in. I preached here a while back. About sometimes we think we like to live in another day, but God put us here for such a time as this, and we're here and we're living now for such a time as this. And those boys and girls need help. Young folk need help. He made some statements tonight that you'd have to say amen to. Young folk need some help. The only hope our young folk have is a good dose old time salvation, getting saved, born in the family of God, and teaching them to live for God, stay in the book, stay close to God, stay in church, and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. If they don't have that, they don't have anything to hope for, anything to look forward to, or any hope that they can, or help they can have in this world. And they can be, you know why the drug crowd is growing and drug use is growing so much, and alcohol and all that? People are trying to find something that'll bring peace and give them some kind of help in this day. But that doesn't give help, that brings more problem. I'm glad they's help, oh. I'm glad they still hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I would that every young person could know that there's hope in Jesus. I would that all could hear that there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and come to know him. I mean, really know him, not just about him, but know him personally as their Lord and their Savior. And these four men now in a strange country, a far piece from home, and here they are, but they refuse to compromise in their lives. And these three events that take place in the book of Daniel that shows their desire, their determination to please God. That's how we ought to be. Hey, God created us for his glory. Then if he created us for his glory, then we ought to be concerned about how to please him and to give him glory. And in doing that, that'll cause you to be determined not to compromise your Christian life for this world whatsoever. I want you to look in verse number 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with his portion of the wine of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I want you to notice Daniel's approach to this. Daniel was not so hard-nosed that he went at it, you heathen, I'm not going to do this. No, he requested of them that he might not defile him. He set a good example of having some character about him, having a good approach about him. And these folk out here that's on drugs and drinking and what have you, what they need, they just don't know the love of God. And you and I could be there if it wasn't for the grace of God. And so we're no better than they are. It's just that God got to us and we responded and got saved. And those people out there, they still need to hear and they still need help. And so Daniel's approaching now a bunch of heathens. They all were heathen, but he approached them like this. I just request of you, I'm asking not to make me defile myself. And he made that request and God granted their request. I'm glad God hears prayer. I'm glad in the worst of circumstances, God can help you. Young folk, I'm glad in a school situation, in a meeting of young folk situation, or whatever the situation may be, mom and dad, at work or wherever it is, I'm glad that you can still request and still try to follow God by God's grace and help. In fact, is God said, no temptation that overtake you, but such as common man, but God is faithful, who will provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear. And I say hallelujah. I'm glad we got a faithful God to help us, amen. And he will and does help us, and I pray that you'll let him help you. Here's Daniel, and of course, in this strange land, and these men could easily have said, well, if you won't do what the king says, then we'll just kill you. They could easily put their lives on the line here, but Daniel, he trusted God to help him and believed that God would help him, and so he just simply said, I'm requesting, I'm asking you not to make me do this. I want you to turn over to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter number 3. I want you to look at verse 16. Here is another, here's had to do with what we know as the three Hebrew children. And, of course, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we best know them of those names, they were those that were four men I'm talking about that wouldn't compromise. In verse 16 of Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, now king had made an image. He said, when you hear the music, I want you to bow down and worship. I want you to do this. They said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. When that word careful there means we're not hesitant to do this. We're going to answer you about this. If it so be our God whom we serve is, I like this, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, now there's some good preaching right there. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we'll not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They said, king, I want you to know this, that our God's able to deliver us, and he will deliver us out of your hand. And they knew that if they burned up in that fiery furnace, they're going to be in heaven anyhow, paradise in that day. But they still going to be where they wouldn't be the king's hands. And they knew they was going to get delivered one way or the other. And that's for a saved person, it's always deliverance. It's either go to heaven or God deliver you out of here. Amen. Whatever situation you're in. I'm glad, thank God, there is deliverance. But here they said, we're not careful. Our God is able. But then they said, but if not, we're still not going to bow to your end. Now, they could easily, as young people, and some Bible scholars guess these young men to be between 14 and 18 years of age. I don't know exactly what age they were, but they were very young. And there they were. They could easily have bowed and said to each other, we're not going to worship. We're just going to bow here and act like it. And so they don't put us on a spot. But they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to seem to have an appearance of evil. And God said, shun the appearance. And so they wouldn't bow. And then they said, if God doesn't deliver us, it's all right. We're still going to trust our God. I believe we ought to live our lives that way. If God doesn't deliver us, we'll still live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know the story, how the king rose up and looked down there and saw four men in the burning fiery furnace. Hey, sometimes it's good to get in the furnace, because when you're in there, you get to knowing the presence of Jesus Christ better. Amen. And down there, they were fellowshipping with Jesus in the fiery furnace while the other crowd was over there worshiping the golden image. They were down there fellowshipping. I say, how? You know, the only thing they lost in the fire was what bound them up. And they lost that. They was loose walking down there and having fellowship. I say, praise God. You get in sometimes a hard place and difficult time. Something's happening and you don't understand it, can't explain it. God may just be burning off some stuff that don't need to be there anyhow, and letting you have more liberty. Amen. Now look in chapter 6. Chapter number 6. And now we find another situation that I just want to give you. I'm still in the introduction. Just hang on. Had a pretty long introduction, amen. But I'm glad they were determined not to compromise. They determined not to give in. They stood their ground. Daniel said, don't make me defile myself at the king's meeting or drink his wine. Don't do that. You young folk hear me well. There'll be young folk will tell you that if you don't take a little sip of beer or something, you're a wimp or something like that. It takes a man and a real man, a real woman to stand for God. Anybody can drift with the crowd and go with that crowd out there and what they're doing. Amen. Well, I just thought I'd plug that in. I'll plug this in while I'm at it too. This thing about sex. Hey, that's pressure today. I want you to know saying no is the only thing you can do if you're right with God. Amen.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart. Amen. Chapter number 6 of the book of Daniel. Verse number, let's look at verse number 9. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, here the enemies of Daniel wanted to get rid of him and knew the only way they could do it is find fault with him and his God. And so they had the king sign a decree that nobody could ask anything of anybody outside of the king for so many days. If they did, they'd be thrown in the den of lions. Now, Daniel knew that. Look at verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. I want you to notice Daniel now. He's not putting on a show. He's not doing anything to draw attention to himself. He's not, as the Pharisees and publicans were out there ringing bells and look at me, I'm going to pray and how good I am. I'm going to give tithe. He didn't do any of that. He just did what he'd been doing and serving God, praying 3 times a day. And he knew the decree was signed. He knew what the penalty was. But he still went in and did what he's supposed to do. I don't believe we ought to break the laws of the land as long as those laws do not interfere with my worship of God. If laws ever interfere with my worship of God or preaching this book, I have every right to disobey man's orders. Amen. God comes first. Man comes second. And so Daniel knew that. Daniel loved God. So he went in there, had his fellowship with God, looked toward Jerusalem, and went open that way, kneeled on his knees and prayed, just like he'd always been doing, and gave thanks unto God, knowing the decree had been signed and that he'd probably be thrown in a den of lions, but he still did it anyhow. Amen. I praise God. By the way, while we're there, let's just look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 33. Listen to what it says. We're going to read verse number 33 and 34. Kind of go along with what we just said. Hebrews 11, 33, 34. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Stopped the mouths of lions. Can you imagine Daniel laying down there in that den of lions at night? He believed God. He did what God wanted him to do. He worshiped God, had fellowship with God. He was doing what God put him on the earth to do. And then thrown in a den of lions. I believe Daniel just laid his head on one, propped his feet on another, and went to sleep. Amen. And kitty cats meowed a little bit. And he said, preacher, that couldn't happen. I believe it did happen. Now, some of that was stewardology, but anyway, he doesn't say just exactly what happened down there, but they didn't need him. They didn't even hurt him. And look at verse 34. Quench the violence of fire. Escaped them. Well, just stop there. Quench the violence of fire. That's what the Hebrew children did. They cast in, but they just walked around. They quenched the violence. How did they do all this? Through faith. They believed that their God was able to help them. And whichever way it went, they weren't going to do that was wrong. So they followed God and did what God said. I say hallelujah. I'm glad these three were determined that they were going to follow God. And they were not going to compromise. I say amen for that. I gave you 3 examples out of the book of Daniel for that. And Daniel now has been the book of Daniel itself. And I told you, as I said, I'm not any kind of authority on Daniel. But I do know that from chapter 1:1 to chapter 2, the first part of verse number 4 was written in Hebrew. And chapters 8 through 12 was written in Hebrew. And then from chapter 2, verse 4, the last part of that verse, through chapter 7 was written in Aramaic. And he was writing to certain groups of people and writing to them that they could understand what he was saying. Daniel was a historian. He was a statesman, but most of all, he was a prophet. The first six chapters of Daniel deal with history, basically. The last six chapters deal with prophecy, basically. And so as we look at Daniel and thinking about Daniel, and some liberals today would criticize and make fun of and make light of the book of Daniel. But Daniel, you must have the book of Daniel. Did you know God called Daniel? You remember I preached a message here just a few Sundays ago, or sometime or other I preached it here, a message on a man greatly beloved of God out of Daniel 9 and 10, and says that of Daniel, he's a man greatly beloved of God. He was on his face, he was on his hands and knees, he was on his feet. But God called him a greatly beloved man of God. God also called John the beloved disciple. He wrote Revelation. And Revelation you can't understand without Daniel. And you can't get Daniel without Revelation. And both of them greatly beloved of God. I believe both are the Word of God. Amen. In Psalm 138, verse number 2, the latter part of that verse, the Bible said that God hath magnified His Word above all His name. I believe His Word is precious and true and right and good. And Daniel is a part of the Word of God. And I believe that with all my heart. Amen. Look in Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse number 14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by the righteousness of the Lord God. Now he mentions them again in verse number, I believe it's verse number 20. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job, here's Noah, that great man of God that built the ark, and the human race was saved because of he preaching faithfully. His family got saved, got in the ark, and all the human race was preserved because of him. And then Job went through a terrible time of trouble and yet stood his ground and maintained his integrity, loved God, did all that. But Daniel stuck right in the middle of them. And there Daniel is, and Noah on one side, and Job mentioned on the other side, and Daniel right in the middle. And Daniel was a man of God also, and he loved God. And fact is, Matthew chapter 24, I believe verse number 15, it talks about what Daniel spoke of and said, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, he's talking about the Antichrist and what he's going to do someday in the holy place. He's saying, when you see that, said Daniel the prophet, Jesus put his approval upon Daniel and said he was a prophet. I say amen for Daniel. I believe I'll stick with the old book and preach Daniel. Amen. And just keep on preaching Daniel and believe what God said about it and trust him for it and rejoice in him. Amen. And thank God for all that he does and has done and will do. Somebody said the history of mankind can be summed up in three let us in Genesis. God said, Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And he made man and for his glory. And then in chapter 11, you'll find in verse number 4, I believe it is, that man said, let us build us a city, make us a name. And man rebelled against God. That's man always does that, goes away from God. But then in verse number 11 of that same chapter, God said, let us go down and confound their land. God always has the final word. And you can sum it up. Let us, God said, we made man. He's for our glory. Man said, we rebelled, do it our way. Build us a tower to heaven. We'll get to heaven our way. We'll do things our way. We'll forget about God, his word. And God said, not so. I'll come down and I'll take care of the judgment needs to come. And God did so. I say, thank God. I don't believe I'll compromise. I don't want to compromise the word of God. I don't want to compromise on God. I want to stick by this book and by the things of God, stand true to God, and go down fighting if I have to go down. Amen. But God is able to deliver us. And but God will help us. But God is our God. And he's a Savior. He's a Lord. He still lives. Now I praise him and thank him and say hallelujah and praise his name. Spurgeon one time made a statement, and he's talking about this, this is not our home. He said, I'm a foreigner, even in England. We're a stranger and a pilgrim down here. Matthew Henry said, this world is our passage, not our portion. It's just a passage. But Brother Bud Robinson, preacher of yesteryear, some friends took him to see New York City. He looked it all over. got back to his room. They said, hey, Uncle Bud, they called, got down to pray, and said he prayed like this. Said, thank you, Lord, that you let me see New York. But I want to thank you more that I didn't see anything I wanted. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'd rather be like him. You see all this out here, but I'd rather be in a place where I don't want it. I don't want it. Let me have Jesus. Give me the book. Give me Jesus and let the world go. Amen. I think I'm going to bring it to a close here in a minute. If I can get to a place where I can. I'm glad, thank God, these four men wouldn't compromise. This is an introduction. We'll get the rest of it later. But I'm telling you tonight, these four men wouldn't compromise. And they stood for God. And I had one of the seniors to write me a note. Well, more than one wrote me a note, but this one note in particular, I appreciate it so very much. I appreciate all the notes I get, but from the Bible that we gave, a gift that we gave of God promises to our seniors, which I always, my wife and I try to do. It's just a little book of God's promises. Doesn't cost a whole lot, but it's got a lot of good stuff in it. And that young person wrote me a note and said, I thank you, Pastor, for preaching to me. And said, I thank you when you tell me what's right and what's wrong. And when you preach hard. And I appreciated that. Young people, I believe, really want to know what's really right and what's wrong. Young people really like need authority in their life. They need. Now, that young man been taught to respect the preacher and to hear what the preacher had to say. And that's what we need today. Amen. We need to hear what the man of God has to say. Believe it and act on it. And do what God says in his word. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the privilege to stand, open the word, try to share some of that precious word. And I pray tonight, God, as we think about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God, help us that we may be determined in our lives that we'll not compromise with this world. Stand true to God, live for God. Don't eat their meat nor drink their wine. Don't go their way. Don't fail to bow and pray. Help us, Lord God, that we'll stand true and stick by the word of God and the things of God and the commands of God. And we'll thank you for what you do now. Father, in this house tonight, there's somebody, Lord, that lost maybe that needs to come. If they're lost, they need to come. But, Lord, I don't know their hearts. I don't know their lives. But you do. And then, Father, some here tonight that's been saved, but they'd have to say their life has not been right. They need to come and yield their life to Jesus. I pray, have your way. Magnify yourself. Then, Lord, maybe we just need to come and pray for somebody tonight and pray for revival in our land and our churches and pray, God, touch hearts and lives. God, whatever the need is tonight, I pray you'd help. In Jesus' name, amen.